center of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers a prayer. A prayer that the church has been reciting and praying for thousands of years since. In many ways, when we join in praying this prayer, we step into centuries of fellow followers of Jesus before us who have prayed these same words. Welcome to Common Prayer.
Hello there, friends, and welcome to the second week of Common Prayer. I hope you had a good weekend. It's funny, our weekends aren't all that much different than our weekdays, but yet it still felt like a little bit of a respite for me, and I hope it did for you as well. I hope also yesterday you were able to tune into our live stream. We're so grateful for technology and the ability to do this in this time. But if I'm honest, you know, it really this past Sunday reminded me of the loss that we're experiencing. Again, the technology is fantastic, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that. But as a pastor, I missed gathering. I missed walking the halls with you. I missed hearing the noise of people catching up on life. I missed praying for people after the service. I missed those collective voices as we sing and worship to God. I missed taking communion, and I missed greeting and all of these different things that we do when we gather in one space. Again, I'm grateful for that opportunity of technology to do this in our living rooms, but it's different, you know, and there's a deep sense of loss that the reality of our kind of our moment had really settled in on me. And it was just a subtle reminder of the ways that we're separated right now. But I just so appreciate you all listening to this and joining, because in some ways, although we're listening in different spaces at different times, this is one small act of unity, and I appreciate you joining in this act of commonality, of coming together. And so what I thought we'd do this week is approach our prayer times a little different. You know, last week, we really looked conceptually at the presence of God and what it means for us. But this week, I thought we would transition and actually go through one particular text, specifically the Lord's Prayer, and work through one line per day of this prayer. And part of the reason I really want to do this is that sense of loss of gathering that we all experience. Jesus gave this Lord's Prayer to his disciples as a way of saying, this is what you are about. This is the anthem, the rallying cry of this Kingdom of God movement that he initiated. And since that moment, you know, the church has for 2,000 years been reciting this prayer, has been leveraging this anthem to be the center focal point of who we are as a people. And so in many ways, I want to step into that. I want to step into that kind of history, that tradition, and realize that this is our prayer as well. And so we want to look today at that very first line. Again, these are familiar words, but it begins simply like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it begins with this, you know, the very first word in the original language is the word or the title Father. And this one name, this one title is just packed with meaning. And it sits really in this tension between being something that is intimate and also transcendent. It is Jesus who uses this title to call God Father, but yet at the end of this line speaks of God as being hallowed, as being set apart, as someone who's holy and different than us. But let's go back to this first word, Father. You know, the very first time that the concept of God as Father shows up anywhere in the scriptures is in the Exodus narrative. And it comes from Exodus 4, and it's Moses confronting Pharaoh, and he says this. It says, Thus says Yahweh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Let my people go, that they may serve me. You see, for the Jews, the Exodus narrative was really their animating story. It was the hope to which they held and continue to hold for centuries. You see, and for the people of God, for us, this is also our story. And so when Jesus uses this title, Father, what he's doing biblically is he's drawing us back to this Exodus narrative, this idea of God as our Father and we as God's children in this act of liberty. It was this liberative move by God to say, these are my children and they shall be free. You know, it's the idea that the slaves were to be called the sons and daughters of God. And so as Jesus takes up this name for God, he is inviting us to prepare for this new sort of exodus. He's announcing the reality that the kingdom of God is present here and now, and is this same move, this liberative move to say that we are a part of this kingdom of God that is about liberating and liberation from the oppressed. You see, the first word of this prayer speaks of the intimacy as God, as Father, of a good father, right? Many of us may or may not have good experience with our parents, but this intimacy in which Jesus draws upon speaks of this relationship with a God who cares, with a God who hears the cries of his people. Again, I think of Israel under slavery when they cry out to God for help, and God listens to their cry. And he says, my people will be liberated from that. See, Jesus is saying that not only was this a prayer of those who were enslaved, but it is our prayer, that we are people in need of liberation. We are those in hope of the Messiah, of Jesus, who we know has come. So as the Jews held to this Exodus hope throughout the centuries, we too hold on to that hope that God is taking history somewhere. And so we boldly declare God as Father. But yet the line also says, our Father in heaven. And you know, so often we project this idea of heaven as some sort of distant place, as in some sort of like galaxy far, far away. But really, biblically, heaven is less of a spatial term and more, it speaks of the God dimension of the world. It's about God's nearness and availability. But yet it doesn't pin him down to a geographical location. You know, when we say our Father in heaven, it means God is near. He is close. It's, you know, John Ortberg translates this phrase, God as close as the air that's touching our skin. See, the announcement of the kingdom of heaven was that it was available right here, right now, that God is within our midst, and we have the opportunity to step into that reality right here and right now. To say our Father in heaven is not to speak of God as distant, but to speak of God as near. And so there's this intimacy, Father in heaven, nearness, closeness, but yet it ends with this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now that idea of hallowed is not language we use very often, but it's this idea of holiness, of being set apart. You see, this last phrase, if our Father in heaven spoke about the intimacy of God, the hallowed be your name speaks of that transcendence. It speaks of God being set apart, that his name is above all other names. It's Jesus' way of saying that while God our Father is here, he is also transcendent of this moment. That he holds the world in his hands, that he's above this as well. And so in some ways, as we pray this surprising address, it should stir up feelings of connection and intimacy, but also security, and also the realization that God is above and different and distinct, but yet intimately connected to be our Father. So what I want to do now is I want us to be to prayerfully enter into this. So as we have in all of these episodes, just begin to relax into your chair as we begin to pray through this first line. Again, maybe take a few slow breaths in your nose and out your mouth. And just take a moment of pause and reflect on the day. Allow your heart rate to slow down. Allow your mind to slow down. Come back to the moment. Maybe following the cadence of your breath, just address God as Father. Father. And as you consider God as Father, consider the intimacy of a loving parent. Consider God as the one who is coming alongside us, as a parent does their child. a loving way and a loving relationship. Maybe consider as a vulnerable child looks for their father for security or their mother for nurturing, that God is that loving parent. But then also, as you think of God as that intimate loving parent, think of the way in which that idea of father shows up in the revolutionary liberation of God's people. The fear, the constraints, the weight, whatever it is that's weighing you down, God as our Father wants to liberate us from those things. Because ultimately this God brings hope. Father. But not just Father, but our Father. This is a collective act. This is beyond individualism. To say our Father is to step into the tradition of hundreds upon thousands of years in which we see God as our collective Father. Our Father is a reminder that you are not alone. It's a reminder that although you may feel distant to people right now, to pray our Father is to recognize that the people of God are gathering together around the world and praying our Father. Our Father in heaven. Our Father who is closer than the air that touches your skin. Our Father who is here, who is present, who is near, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Our Father in heaven. And lastly, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That God is holy. He is distinct. He is different. He is beyond us as well. Take comfort in both the intimacy and the transcendence of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us in common prayer. Our prayer is that our church family would continue to connect with each other and grow in our connection and relationship with God. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church hosted by our Generations pastor, Kevin Sneed. Music is written and produced by myself, Brandon Passion. Be sure to check back daily for new episodes at cpc.org.